reading due from Luke, the 17th chapter and the 3rd verse. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. 1 Timothy 5 and the 20th verse. Those who continue in sin, rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also may be fearful of sinning. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. One year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, friends, let me tell you what, we have experienced a winter like we've never experienced in our life. I sure haven't remembered it. I know it used to rain snow in the Dalles, and I've seen 3 foot of snows there when I was a little fella during the Depression, but I've never seen anything since. We've had storm after storm after storm. We've had avalanches. We've had hundreds and hundreds of head of cattle and pigs have perished out there in the prairie. You pray for us, will you? Pray that we'll get through this all right. Be with you for a half an hour. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the second chapter of Colossians. Second chapter of Colossians in the first verse. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that your hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in them, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Let's name this walking safely on the danger trail. Boy, listen, I want you to know Paul had a great concern for the Colossians, and he said, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are in Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face. You know, that's the one thing about the Apostle Paul that I loved. He was always concerned about the people that he'd ministered to. You know, the joy of being a soul winner for Jesus is when we hear from people that we led to Christ many, many years ago and through the years. I talked to a young girl, now she's a young woman, down in Oregon. I introduced her daddy and her mother to Christ, and I introduced her to Christ. And she said, preacher, listen, my daddy died good because he had Jesus. Oh, I remember that day, if it was just yesterday. when that big old law keeper and I and his wife knelt there in the living room with people all around us, and I led them in the sinner's prayer, and boy, he was a professional softball pitcher, one of the better ones, but he died with cancer. But oh, friends, I recall what a joy it was to talk to his daughter. A warning about enticements to sin and error. Fourth verse, I say this in order that no one delude you with persuasive argument. See, the key word in this chapter is in the eighth verse. It says, beware. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of man, according to the elementary principles of the world. You know, friends, I knew a Christian psychiatrist, I should say, and he was a preacher. He was a fine man. I really loved him. And he'd call me on the phone. He'd say, Cecil, and I don't have the education he has, I'll guarantee you. But he'd call me and he'd ask me questions that he needed to deal with souls, winning people to Christ. And I thought, you know, you can have all the wisdom in the world, but without Jesus, you don't stand a prayer. When you're out winning souls or witness for Jesus, you see, he's working both ends of the things. He's talking to the lost person, and he's sharing through you. Don't be afraid of what you're going to say. The Bible said he will give us the words that we need. I've said this millions of times. Friends, listen. If you are born again, and if you know John 3:16, you've got enough ammunition. That's right. Of course, it's better to take him down the Roman road. I understand that. But I will guarantee you, John 3:16 is enough to get a man saved if he will listen and the Holy Spirit tugs their heart. See, the secrets of safety. How to walk after being born again. Simple secrets for safety on the journey. Hey, listen, there's a lot of secrets we need to know. That's why we need to get into the Word. Friends, a minute you're saved, get a good Bible, a good study Bible. Get in there and find out what God wants for your life. You know, the most happy people in this whole world are those who are doing the divine will of God, who are in the will of God. Are you in the will of God? Now you say, well, I don't know. I go to church. I go to Sunday school and I do pray and I read my Bible. Friends, that's all good, and it certainly is good, but there's more to it than that. Oh, there's much more to Christianity. So many people haven't found what their niche in life for Christ. That's why you're unhappy. That's why church is boring to you. That's why Bible study is boring. You're not doing what God has designed for you to do. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. But we have to do it. We have to follow him. Walk as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord. Verse 6. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, walk in him. It's important to stay close to the conversion experience. You say, whoa, what do you mean? Listen, friends. I've preached for 51 years. And I go to prison and I can preach up a storm and I can talk about Moses and I can talk about Zechariah. I can talk about anything. But then I say, but friends, one day, just like Paul did, one day I was on the road to Damascus and a great light appeared unto heaven. And I fell to my knees and he said, Lord, he said, why does thou kick against the pricks? Listen, friends, I try to share with those men and women what happened in my life. That's the most powerful preaching you will ever do. Because people want to know, well, what does that mean to you? Well, I've been there. I've experienced I've experienced salvation. Now, there's a lot of people who know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Shall I say that again? They know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They've heard about him. They know that he raised the dead and healed the blind. But they don't know Christ. That's why you'll hear me always say, accept Jesus as your personal experience. It's an experience with you and a person. That's when you're born again. And then you'll want to do what he wants you to do. See, how serious sin seemed, and how wonderful God's love seemed, how sensible faith seemed. We must remember our first love for Christ. You remember what he said? He said, you've done this, you've done that, but however, you've forgot your first love. That's why a lot of Christians quit. That's right. They quit serving the Lord because their love for him grew cold. Friends, you know why divorces are so popular? Because their love grows cold. Later in life, now my wife and I have been married for 61 years. We've had some tough sledding, I'll tell you. And living with a preacher must be awful hard for a woman. Wow. I know, you know, I go through times when I get despondent and people are not being saved and I'm not reaching people like I want to and I get irritable. Well, what we have to do is get on our knees and confess it. Many of you older Christians have heard of Gypsy Smith. You know what he used to say? I have never lost the wonder of it all. Oh, my stars, I tell you, whenever I get down the dumps or feeling on a get on a pity pot, which sometimes preachers do, all I got to do is remember that morning that I stumbled into that preacher's home drunk. Oh, I'm so sorry to say that, but I was crying. And he looked at me, and he sat me down the davenport, and tears began to stream down his face. He knew what I was experiencing, even though he had never took a drop of booze in his life. He, too, once was a lost sinner. And the thing that I loved about Tom, he did not talk about my drinking. All he talked about was the love of God, and that through Christ I could have this new life, be born again, delivered from the curse of alcohol. I asked him, I said, preacher, let's supposing that I do what you say, ask Jesus to forgive me and ask him to come in my heart and be my Savior. Let's supposing I do that. And I go out of here and I go right back to the bar. Well, first of all, he said, if you're born again, you won't do that. Why won't I do that? Because you have been delivered from the curse of sin by the Lord. He was right. He certainly was right. Because I never went back to that bar. God changed my heart. Well, walked rooted in the Jesus Christ the Lord in verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Rooted and built up in who? In Christ himself. We should be like the roots of a tree. You know, friends, some trees just don't have very big roots. No, that's right. And some go down, 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 down. Hey, you know, have you been noticing in this storm in Seattle, Washington, and in Oregon, where these great big tall fir, big tall pine trees, the wind toppled them over on houses. Yes, the water had got in there so much, it rained so much, the ground was soft and downy thing. But we need to be rooted in Christ. We should be like the roots of a tree, reaching out to take in the water. That means God's Holy Spirit. Absorbing nutrients for growth from what? From the Word of God. Friends, listen. You give your heart to Jesus and you do not get into the Word of God. Don't go to church. You'll die on the vine. You will not. You have to have spiritual as much as you have to have food. That's right. Well, we find all we need in Christ at verse 8 and 9. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. Well, let's turn to the next. Oh, I didn't read 9, did I? Ooh, better read 9 too. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Well, all right. We don't need philosophy. We need faith. Boy, you know what? I don't know how in the world, but I'm getting letter after letter from these psychics. I just tossed them in the garbage. I don't believe in that psychic stuff. Oh, there's a lot of people who even believe in the Ouija boards, and I wouldn't mess with them either, and you wouldn't either if you were smart. Not philosophy, but in faith, not in the world, but in the Word. And in verse 7 here it says, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude, walk refreshed in Christ Jesus Lord, as we have been taught. Well, it says old truths about Christ keeps refreshing us in verse 10. And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. All friends, would you make Christ the Lord of your life? You are a rich man. You are a rich woman. You see, my banker says I don't have anything in the bank. I didn't say nothing about your bank account. You're rich in faith. Well, old truths about Christ keeps refreshing us. Now look in 10. And in him we've been made complete. We are complete in Christ. He is more powerful than our enemies. You know, I told you this before. After I was saved, because I was a town drunk, and I would go back to these alcoholic friends of mine and start telling them about Jesus, they hated me. They got so mad at me, they'd let the air out of my tires. They wouldn't wave at me. They wouldn't speak to me. But I loved them. You see, I knew what they were experiencing. I want to tell you a quick story. I was pulling into Seattle when I did a TV program up in Bellingham, and I pulled into Seattle, and this is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I used to know an alcoholic. He goes around to restaurants, and he takes grease, and he takes them to rendering plants. And I got out of my motel room, and I saw this grease truck going to this restaurant. And I went over there, and I said, do you know a guy by the name Bill Butler? And they said, yeah, we know. I said, you do? Yeah, I said, yeah, he used to do this kind of work. Said, well, you know, he was in a car wreck and he was almost killed. He works in a bar over here in North Seattle. I said, you're kidding. Now get this. This is the wildest thing I've ever heard of. I drove to my cousin's place, she was an alcoholic, and so was her husband. And I said, you know, I was talking to a man this morning, said that they knew a guy, Bill Butler, a friend of mine. He's a bartender over here. And my cousin Virginia said, I know Bill Butler. I said, you've got to be kidding me. She said, you want to visit with him? We went over there. We walked into this bar. I felt very uncomfortable. We walked into this bar. And my cousin, she went up to the bar and bought herself a drink, bought me a Coke. And she said, this is my cousin. He's an evangelist. I want you to know, friends, there was a great big booth there. My cousin and I sat down in that booth, and about 15 men and women came over there and sat. And I got to preach Jesus to them, all of them. They asked me questions, and I told them what Jesus meant to me. Oh, friends, I will never forget that day as long as I live. All of them are dead now. Oh, I do trust and hope that many of them trusted the Lord. Bible said we are made alive, we've been forgiven in verse 13. And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all your transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. We are made alive in Christ Jesus. The debt of our transgression of the law has been paid in full. Satan and his demons are defeated. Friends, listen to me. You know, it's such a joy to read these things and remember when we too were lost in sin. Didn't know our left hand from our right hand. But the minute we heard the gospel, the good news of Christ, and when we turned and repented, a joy came into our heart that I can't explain. I don't have the vocabulary to explain to you how I felt that morning. I do know one thing I felt. I felt that I had been forgiven. And see, the Holy Spirit comes in your heart the minute you repent, and he gives you the assurance that you're a child of the King. You don't have to say, well, I hope I'm a Christian. You'll know. This is written that you may know that you've passed from death unto life. 1 John 5:13. He tells us that. Well, walk rejoicing in Christ Jesus the Lord. Verse 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Oh, abounding with thanksgiving. Oh, my friends, if you're not thankful for your salvation, you don't have salvation. We are saved by grace and thankful for it. No longer in bondage to the law, verse 16. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are mere shadow of which is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflating without cause by his fleshly mind. No longer in bondage to law, dead to sin and alive in Christ. Verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to degrees as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? Dead to sin and alive in Christ. We rejoice in our victories in Christ. Listen, here is the dangers to avoid: pride, false teachers, and legalism. Oh, I know so many legalists. God's grace is sufficient for our every need. Listen, walking by faith, we're safe on the danger trail. Friends, do you know the King? Are you on the road to glory, or are you on the road to hell? Now, you're the only one that can answer that. I can't answer it for you. But I'll tell you one thing, if you are on the road to hell, and you're sorry for your sins, and you want a new life in Jesus, and you want to accept Christ, here's an opportunity. Please don't pray this unless you mean it. If the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, you'll know it, and here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done to you and my family, my loved ones. Lord, right now, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call? 303-471-8534. Call me, collect if you can't afford the phone call. I'll be happy to talk to you. No, I won't use your name on the air. No, I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. Oh, but I am concerned where you spend eternity. You say, Cecil, I belong to a different religion. I'm not asking you to leave your religion. I'm asking you to leave your sins at the cross and put Jesus there. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Well, friends, I'm waiting for your call, 303-471-8534. If you feel I could help you spiritually, please call me. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please pray for me and my wife and for our women's work as God opens the door for us. And get out and do something for the Lord this year. Try to ask him to help you be a soul winner. Ask him to give you holy boldness. And take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. He puts us in a way we can talk to people if we listen to him. Well, friends, until it's time next Sunday night, be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.